Is anybody excited about 2016? Anybody excited about being a part of the cross in 2016? Come on now. Come on now. God is going to do some great things this morning, and I want to kind of set the tone for where I believe God is leading us this year. This is the second week in Vision Sunday here, and so we want to talk about what God is going to be doing in the new year. But I want to say congratulations. You made it to 2016, right? Some of you honestly didn't think you'd make it here, right? Whether it's health related or some serious stuff going on, and you didn't know if you'd actually make the end of 2015. And not only have you made January 1st, but now you've made January 3rd. That's pretty good. Some of you spouses were having a hard time last year, and you didn't know if you'd make it, and yet you're sticking it out. You're fighting for that marriage, and you're still married. And praise God for that. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. Some of you didn't think you'd make it, but I'll tell you what, everybody that made it to 2016, I believe that God wants to do great, mighty, and powerful things. And I believe that's everyone here, by the way, because I think we've all made it to 2016, right? Are we in agreement? Have we all made it? Some of you are still stuck in 2015, maybe, but this is 2016. Congratulations, you made it. And God's going to do awesome things. And so I've got, I want to talk this morning, continue our series that we've called State of the Church Vision Sundays. Last week, we took a look at the state of the church at large. And we said that though the state of the church at large is declining, and I kind of ripped on baby boomers and challenged you a little bit, but some of you are back for more. Congratulations. Now I'm gonna take it easy on you guys today. But last week we talked about, though the state of the church at large is declining, for whatever reason, God is looking upon our church with favor and with blessing. And as he's looking on us with favor and blessing, let us continue to do whatever it takes to reach lost people to come to know Jesus Christ. That's why we exist, to bring more and more people, to bring everyone to Jesus Christ as we're meeting needs and serving needs in the community. At the same time, growing in our faith, as we're doing those things, we believe that the kingdom of God and this community, this city will change exponentially as we're doing those things. And so we decided last week that we will do whatever it takes in 2016 and beyond to reach those that don't know Jesus. At least that's what I thought we said last week, right? I just want to make sure you're with me this morning. That's what I thought we said, right? Okay, some of you are like 3 days in and I'm already done with the year, right? Come on now, it's too early to give up on the year. It's too early. So what I want to do this morning is I want to launch kind of a big thinking, faith-filled vision for our church for this year and beyond. I was listening to another pastor named Craig Groeschel a few weeks ago, and he had this line that he uses at his church. It's a value statement at their church, and man, I just fell in love with that line. And so I want to kind of declare this line over us in 2016. I want to talk a little bit more about what that means for us this morning. But he said to his church, and I want to say this to our church, that we are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers, that we're never going to insult God with small thinking or safe living. I don't know if you heard me, because I like that line a lot. You better like it too, right? We are faith-filled, big-thinking people. Bet the farm risk-takers. We will never insult God with small thinking or safe living. That's what I want to declare over us, because I like to set goals that man, God has to show up to make that goal happen. I don't want to just settle. And I want to just sit around. I want to set big goals and watch how the God of the universe comes in and makes a difference and makes it happen. I like setting goals so big that when it happens, everybody on the outside is like, what in the world is happening there? And even us on the inside, we're looking around like, wow, that's awesome. Did you think that was going to happen? No, not you. No, but we said it was going to happen. So it happened, right? That's the kind of goals that I want to set. We are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers that'll never insult God with small thinking or safe living. It starts with we are. It doesn't say we will be, or it doesn't say I am. It says we are. And I believe as we look at Scripture, there's a value, and you can make an argument that not only should we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's very important, but maybe even more important is a shared relationship with Jesus. There's something powerful that happens when we come together as the church. When we come together as a broken, sinful group of people as one, when more and more people, this year and these days are thinking they can do their relationship with God on their own, that they don't need the church, they don't need the fellowship of the believers, and that they're okay without that. But I'm here to tell you, it's better together. It's better together. And we are, if I am this, that's a good thing. But man, if we are this, this city better watch out, right? There's something powerful that happens when we come together. For example, if you pray alone, and you know that your prayers, they can be very powerful, but when you pray with others, I'm telling you, there's something that happens when you join your faith together with others and you feel like you're really touching the heart of God. You can worship alone, and some of you do. I've seen some of you do that. I've seen some of you worship like crazy in your car, right? I'm one of those guys too. I worship like crazy in my car. And the reason you do this in your car is the same reason that you pick boogers in your car, right? It's because you think there's, It's because you think there's an invisible shield around you. You think that nobody's watching you. Isn't that crazy how for whatever reason you feel safe to pick boogers in a car? Like, I got one. I'm just going to go dig it out right now, even though somebody's right next to you at the stoplight watching you the whole time, laughing at you and pointing fingers at you, right? Everybody can see you do it. Everybody can see you worshiping God like crazy in your car. Some of you are like that, man. You get caught up in a good worship song and you start raising your hands and you better be singing Jesus Take the Wheel at that point, because otherwise it's not going to work out that great for you. Worshiping by yourself can be a great thing, but man, it's even more powerful when we come together and worship together. One of my favorite moments of last year, and it is every year, is when we get to join on Christmas Eve for the candlelight service, and when we've all got these lights of the candles, and we proclaim that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, but I'm going to take my light, because I'm a light in the world too, and I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to do great things for Him through the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. And we all hold these up, and we're praising God together. That's a powerful moment. There's more power when it's we than I. We do this together. We want to seek God for the impossible. We want to believe God for miracles. We want to dream that God would do exceedingly and abundantly more in our lives through our church for His glory, so that generations would know who He is. And we want to be faith-filled in all that we do. I want to look at two stories this morning of Jesus. And what's really interesting in these stories is you're going to see that Jesus, there's only two times that the Word of God tells us that Jesus was amazed. Just two times. And He was amazed for two different reasons, like opposite ends of the spectrum, you're going to find out. And the first story is when Jesus was in His hometown and He was teaching, and some people were offended, like, who is this guy? He's the son of a carpenter. He shouldn't be saying these kinds of things. And He was amazed at something in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It said Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And He was amazed. He was what? Amazed. He was amazed, it says, at their lack of faith. Right? One of the two times that Jesus was ever amazed in the Word of God was at their lack of faith. He was shocked. He was stunned. He was blown away that they didn't believe He had the power to do what He said He could do. And they didn't believe that He was who He said He was. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Interesting. The second story we're going to look at is in Luke's Gospel. And there was this centurion who the Jewish people most likely would have surely hated because of all the cruel things that centurions were known to do. And this centurion had a sick servant that was dying. And so the centurion sent somebody to go to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, you got to come meet this guy. You got to come meet this centurion. And so whenever Jesus comes and He meets this centurion, the centurion says this to Jesus. He says, you don't need to go to my house to pray for this servant. At your very word, I believe my servant will be healed. At your very word, Jesus, you don't even need to go there. You can just say it and He'll be healed. And verse 9 of Luke 7 says that when Jesus heard this, He was what? Amazed. Right? You don't even have to open your Bible. You all have that memorized? You're so good. You are so good. When Jesus heard this, He was amazed at Him and turned to the crowd following. And He said, I tell you the truth, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Two different times Jesus was amazed. He was amazed at first someone's lack of faith, and He was amazed secondly at somebody's great faith. Here's a question for you. As we launch into this new year, if Jesus looked at your faith level, those things that you're attempting for His glory, those things that you're believing He's going to do, would He be amazed at how big and audacious and bold your faith is? Or would He be amazed at your lack of faith? That's a great question to wrestle with this morning. Where's your faith at? Think about the last week of your life. And somebody says, Zach, that's not fair. It was New Year's. We partied hard. Okay, fine. I'll give you 2 weeks, okay? Think about the last 2 weeks of your life. That's easy to remember. Think about what great faith steps did you take in those 2 weeks? Did you attempt something that was so bold and so daring that, man, if God didn't come through for you, there's no way it ever would have happened? Think about your prayer life. What did you pray for in the past 2 weeks? Imagine this. Imagine if God answered every prayer of yours with a yes and an immediately from the past 2 weeks. I mean, you prayed and just, it happened. God did it. Yes, 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 yes. And immediately every time. If God answered yes and immediately to every prayer that you've prayed over the last 2 weeks, ask yourself this question. What would be different in the world today? If nothing, then perhaps you aren't living a faith-filled life. Like some of you, all you pray for is your food to be blessed and for traveling mercies. I love that phrase. Traveling mercies, right? It's like, it's safety, right? Just pray for safety, right? Really. Help us get there safely. That's all you pray for is bless this food and help us to get from point A to point B, which 99% of the time, prayer or not, your food is not going to make you sick and you will get there safely, right? That's not a faith-filled prayer. And please don't, I'm not minimizing, it's a good prayer to have. Please don't hear me say that. But it's not a faith-filled prayer that's going to change the world. For some people, there would be nothing different in the world at all because you didn't pray a single prayer and you didn't attempt a single thing that would be bold and daring for the kingdom and the glory of God. Would God be amazed at your great faith this morning or your lack of faith? Would he be blown away that you didn't attempt anything or pray for anything significant in the last week? 2 weeks, month, who knows, right? So we want to talk this morning about how we can be faith-filled, big thinking as individuals and even as a congregation. And I've got three principles for you this morning when it comes to faith. Who's ready? All right. Wow, some interesting applause there. Number one, you cannot play it safe and please God. You cannot play it safe and please God. In fact, the author of Hebrews said in the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, if you can do everything by your own power and your own strength and you never need the power of God, then you're living without faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. The challenge is, I think, that some of us think, in our part of the world, people kind of almost glorify faith. They think, okay, that if you've got great faith, that you're always going to sort of have the faith face on you, right? And I feel like there's pastors and church leaders get lumped into this category, that you're never going to have to doubt, and you're never going to have a bad day, and you're always just going to be floating in this eternal faith, right? But the reality is faith is sometimes messy. It's not always constant. It's not incredibly clean. There may be some moments where you've got great faith, and then the next minute you're overwhelmed with doubt. Right? Sometimes you feel like, man, God spoke to me so clearly. I know he did. And you wake up the next morning, it's like, oh man, maybe that was the burrito instead, right? I don't know if that was God anymore. And it's hard to follow sometimes a God that you cannot see. And that's why you take these faith steps. And when you take these faith steps, they can be messy. It's not always clean. And that's why it's called faith, because it's not proven what's going to happen. You don't know. You cannot play it safe and please God. One of the greatest examples of this that I see in the Word of God is the disciple Peter. When Jesus walked out onto the water and he said, hey, who wants to come join me on the water? Peter got up out of the boat. And of course, we know the story. He walked on water a little bit and then he got distracted and he doubted he saw the wind and the waves and he fell in because he took his eyes off of Jesus. But my thinking is, hey, at least Peter got out of the boat, right? There's 11 fools in there that had an opportunity to be in a very short company of people that have ever walked on water. Now, the only two people that are there are Peter and Jesus, okay? I want to be in company with Jesus where it's just me and him. Like, that's a good company to be in, you know what I'm saying? And so Peter got into that because he at least took a step out. And some of us, we got to know that we need to take a step out to find out what's going to happen. And so often our fear of failure keeps us from stepping out because people often think that when we fail, we're missing what God is wanting. But it can also be the opposite, that when we fail, we actually start to discover more about who our God is. I believe that the more we're taking big thinking, faith-filled steps in our life, the more we're going to fail. But the more we're going to find God's grace and the more we're going to see God's faithfulness in all of that. And there's going to be moments where we don't fail and where we really impact this world that we believe that we belong to. You got to step out to find out. And I don't know who this is going to speak to, but some of you out there, you are playing it safe. You're playing it safe. And let me tell you this. You cannot play it safe and please God. I would even argue that if you're not failing every now and then, you're playing it way too safe. Would God be amazed at your great faith? Or would he be amazed at your lack of faith? Principle number one is you cannot play it safe and please God. Second thing, if you're taking notes, is as long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith, right? As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. The writer to the Hebrews said in chapter 11, verse 20, he says, faith is the what? You know? Is the confidence of what we, what? Hope for. Not faith is the confidence of what is guaranteed. Faith is confidence in what we're just hoping, right? We don't know for sure. We're just hoping. Faith is the confidence of what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us an assurance of things that we can't actually see. The problem for many of us, though, is we want a guarantee. I want a guarantee. Is this gonna work? I need to know everything before I step into this. I need to know, is there a money-back guarantee? What's going to happen if this fails? I need to know what my out is at the end, right? Some of us go back to our dating years, and we remember before you asked out the girl, you wrote the note that said, if so-and-so were to ask you out, right, what would you say? You drew two boxes, and you put check one, and the two boxes were yes and no. And then you gave that note to your friend to give to the girl that you wanted to ask out. And you're anxious. You don't know what she's going to say. She might say yes. She might say no, but who knows? And so there's all this anticipation. Class finally ends. You get the note back from your friend, and you see on this note, there's a third box that she drew in that she checked that said maybe. Maybe. What's that? I want to know what I'm getting into. That's how I got Allison, by the way. And she checked the yes, but she put heck before the yes. Heck yes. Right? Not really. It's probably the other way around. But the reality is that when we're dealing with God, sometimes the box is a maybe. God, I think you're calling me to do this. I hope, I believe you're calling, but I don't know for sure. How do I know? Well, let me just tell you real quick. If it's in line with the word of God, I believe that's God's voice to you, right? If you're feeling urged, like, I really gotta help out this person, or I really feel like being generous, like, that's not Satan, okay? That's God. Satan's not gonna come and tell you that. And likewise, if you're being told things that are not in the Word of God to go do some certain things, like, that's Satan. That's not God. Okay? So everything needs to be checked with the Word of God, but still there's a lot with the Word of God that, man, it feels like this would be something that you would want from me, God, but I just don't know for sure. I think you're calling me to do this, but it's a maybe. I don't know. Is it you, God? I don't know. I don't know. But the box says maybe. Just check maybe. Some of you, you're going to have to let go of control to take a step of faith, right? You can have faith or you can have control, but you cannot have both. And as a church this year, I told you that we're going to talk about some of the things we're going to do this year. As a church this year, we're going to do some things that honestly, I can make a big, bold declaration and proclamation and speak it confidently and boldly to you today, but I don't know. It's up to God, right? It's up to God. I mean, I think I can discern the voice of God because it was me and only me that a year and a half before LeBron James came back to Cleveland, I boldly proclaimed and predicted before any writers were out there in the midst of their championship runs with Miami. No, he's coming back. Watch, it's coming in a year and a half. And you all doubted me. Just saying, you judge a prophet by what they say, and if it comes true or not. Not only did I get that one right, but I boldly declared with you on week one of this NFL season that the Cleveland Browns were going to have another rough year. And today, let me tell you, don't clap for that. Let me tell you, today they're fighting for the number one draft pick next year, which is the award that gets presented to the worst team. Right? So you may say, Zach, that's not a bold declaration. You can say that at the beginning of any Cleveland Browns year, right? And if that's you, you're very mean-spirited. Just saying. But I believe God's going to do some great things, and maybe they'll come true like those ones. I hope they do. I believe they will. I'm confident that they will. I want to continue to grow this year. Continue to grow the church. We've got a chart here that shows from the beginning when we started. You don't see the numbers there, but when we started on the left-hand side, that represents about 60 to 70 people. And that was where we were in August of 2011 when we opened as a congregation. And you can see that that line is trending in the right direction with a few peaks at Christmas, Easter, and world record attempts, right? But last year, we ended with just over 500 on average at the end of 2015. Guys, if we stay on this arc, and if things keep going in the same direction, we could be likely be looking at over 800 people by the end of 2016. Praise God, right? God can bring more than that. God can bring more than that. I've always told you from the beginning, we want to change a city. We're not here to just come and encourage and have a good time with one another an hour. We come to equip, empower, educate, and just motivate us to be the people, the hands and feet outside of this place. And so as many people as are being collected here, I believe that God's going to do awesome and powerful things. I've never said it out loud before, but since we're talking big, thinking, faith-filled stuff, in my head, what I've always said is I'd like by year 7, August 14th of 2018, to be at 10% of whatever the city's population is. Because that's what I think, that's when I think you can really change a city, when you got 1 in 10 people that are members or followers of Jesus that are here at the cross. Like, that's when we're going to have an opportunity to do awesome and incredible things and really change the city and get a whole city to come on their knees and bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is the one true Savior. Next chart, as our attendance has grown, so have our offerings, and that's a good thing. It would be bad if it was going the opposite way. So this past year, we even put an aggressive budget to start in the fiscal year, which was July. So we're about 6 months into that now, and we put a really aggressive budget, and man, we're ahead of that budget already. And so God is doing great things. And what this means is that as attendance grows and as offerings grow, we just have more opportunities to be generous. We have more opportunities to take risks with our money and to give back with our money to the community and to truly make a difference. And I'm excited about our growth in both areas. You can see that they follow a pretty similar trend in both of them. I believe that in the year 2016, towards the latter end, we're going to start identifying whatever our next step is, whether it's property, a building, who knows what it might be. And I'd love if we continue to give generously in our offerings and with our plant and build campaign. I'm hoping that we can get almost all, if not all, of our land and our building or whatever combination it is paid for so that we don't have to carry debt as a congregation, right? I'm just crazy enough to think that maybe there's only a few of you clapping because, you know, if you clap, I might be looking at you for money, right? That's why you're not clapping, right? Because I don't want Pastor to look at me. But I'm just crazy enough to think that maybe, just maybe, there's a few people that are here today and some others that are going to be coming alongside of us in the next couple of years that got some large sums of money that are going to be extremely generous so that we don't have to burden the next generations with the debt that we have. I've got a big faith. I believe in that. And one of you, which one is clapping? I want to know where you are. You and I are going to talk later about wills, bequests, all sorts of things like that. But anyway, Christian education is a big focus for us this year. I mentioned it last week, and we're going to get even more into it in the future weeks. But we're introducing in February here something we call the Discovery Track that we're going to want people to go through. It's going to happen on Sunday mornings at 10:30. Uh-oh, what's that mean for us, right? That means you guys can go to worship at 9 o'clock. But I thought Bible study was at 9. I want to go to Bible study. Well, Ralph is a beast, right? Ralph is a beast. He's our Bible study leader. And he said, Zach, I'll teach Bible study at 7:30. So if people really want to go to Bible study and worship and go through this discovery track, we can make that happen. Next week, he's going to start doing Bible study at 7:30 for the faithful, for the early birds, for the ones that get up and get excited about mornings. You crazy, crazy morning people, right? But at 10:30, we're going to do a 12-week track called Discovery. It's going to serve as kind of our adult confirmation class. We're working right now on an assessment that we're going to give out to everybody in the congregation to identify where you are in your journey spiritually, in your faith. And based on where you are, it's going to show you what track or what class you need to be a part of. Those that are new in the faith are going to start at the beginning. And in February, the beginning, the first track is Discover God. In March, Discover the Gospel. April, Discover Discipleship. And we'll keep doing that over and over again until we get more and more more people that know God more and that know the gospel and understand what it means to be a disciple. In addition to this, I'm really excited about in the fall being able to offer for the first time for our 7th and 8th grade students a confirmation program that for a year long, they're going to be going through the basics and tenets of the Christian faith. And at the end of that year, these students who we're pouring into are going to say, I confirm my faith in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and he's my Savior. What a great opportunity. Mark's going to lead that. So he needs help, right? I mean, he said it earlier, but like, he really needs help. Just saying that. What I'm really excited about is we continue to impact this community and beyond, the beyond part. What we're going to be able to do online as we launch a brand new website that's going to be a lot more user-friendly as we improve our live streaming. We're going to upgrade that equipment and make that experience even greater so that if you're not able to join us on Sundays, you'll be able to, and you'll be able to tell your family and friends that aren't connected anywhere, wherever they may be in the world, to join us in spirit and in truth and in worship. We believe that God has positioned our church well with the resources and tools and people and abilities that we have here to make an impact online, and we want to give whatever resources, whatever tools, whatever sermons, whatever services we can for free for those in the community so they can know who Jesus Christ is. We've got some big, bold, and creative events coming up this year. I'm thinking bigger. Last year, we did a little Easter egg hunt in Sorrento. This year, I need somebody that knows how to fly a helicopter to drop 25,000 eggs for the kids. Who can fly a helicopter? That's what we're going to do. We're going to do Central Florida's largest helicopter Easter egg drop on Easter weekend. It's going to be an awesome time. Guess what? A couple weeks before that, we're going to give more tattoos away to people that want to get tattooed with the logo. Some of you are like, oh, man, we're not going to make it up front and center, hopefully like last time where it went all over the world. But don't you know that we said last week that we're going to do whatever it takes? And don't you know that through that a couple of years ago when people got tattooed with a church logo and it made the news, don't you know that some people started coming to our church for that one reason? Don't you know that? And some of those people would later be baptized and profess a faith in Jesus. So it's a weird tactic. I never dreamt that I'd be the one that would do that, but we do whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Right? Scott's excited. In the summer, we're going to launch a 40-day challenge. We've done it in our very early years. We called it a Do What He Said challenge. We're probably going to change the name to a Be the Word challenge, where for 40 days, we're going to take the words of Jesus Christ literally off the page and give you real practical ways for how to put those into your life as individuals. And then sometimes we're going to gather together as a congregation and do those things together. And so if Jesus says to go out and feed the hungry, we're going to find ways either individually or collectively that day to go out and feed the hungry. If he says to pray for our enemies, we're going to spend some time that day praying for our enemies. It's going to be 40 days of doing what Jesus says. And let me tell you, it's been life-changing for those that were with us in the first couple of years. And I think it's going to be the thing that propels us to be serious about following after God as individuals and as a group of people. And I'm excited to do that in the summer. One of the events that I'm hoping we can do towards the latter part of that 40-day challenge is, I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fun breaking a record a couple of years ago, and I want to break another one with you guys. You up for it? Tell me what it is before we get excited, Pastor, right? Tell me what it is, right? Most tattoos, not just kidding. David Oliver Willis gave me the idea and said, you should do this. And so I said, what is it? He said, you should break the record for the world record for the largest potluck party ever, right? So we're going to come and we're going to have over 1,300 people. It's not going to be here because it won't fit here, but we're going to get the city involved. We're going to get other churches involved. We're going to get everybody involved. We're going to get the food pantry involved. We're going to raise a lot of awareness and a lot of money while we break a record for Lake Cares Food Pantry. How cool is that? I haven't even told the food pantry yet. They're going to be excited. I volunteered them, right? I haven't even told them that. As we grow this year, what I'm hoping for is I see a goal of 75 new baptisms this year. I see 300 new members joining the cross. I see by the end of the year, more than 75 kids being with Mark and student ministries and over 100 kids on the morning, Sunday mornings at K-5. I believe that when we get to 700 people, some of you have been asking, hey, when are we going to do an evening service? I believe that's the time when we get to 700. So if you want an evening service, you got to go out and invite people. Right? So you want it. There's a little carrot. I'm dangling it in front of you. You go out and get it, right? So that's what we're going to do. And I believe by the end of the year, we're going to have 2 kids services happening on Sunday morning so that if parents can't come to 9:00, they can still come to 10:30 because we want to be there for the families as much as we can. And listen, some people are leery of making promises because then people hold them to it, right? right? And there's a segment of people out there that their motto is under promise, over deliver, right? And I'm this way, and my wife would attest to it, with the laundry and dishes, but not with the church, right? We make big promises because we want to see God fill up this place and make many more people come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through him. Sometimes you just got to step out in faith and say, God, this is what we want to do. This is what we feel like you're calling us to do. We believe it, Lord, but God is going to be the one that's going to bless it. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but someone here is going to start a business or someone wants to start a ministry and you want to guarantee God, what are steps 3, 4, and 5? But listen, you won't get steps 3, 4, and 5 until you faithfully complete steps 1 and 2. There's no guarantee when you follow God. The only guarantee is that God will prove himself faithful time and time again. But when it comes to faith, you have to take risks. You cannot play it safe and please God. You can have control or you can have faith, but you cannot have both. And I've got one more principle. Are you ready for it? Okay, 4 of you. Good. The others lost you somewhere. To step toward your destiny, to step toward where God wants you to go, you got to step away from your security. But what's going to happen? How's it going to end up? If you knew all that, it wouldn't be called faith, right? It's exactly what Abraham did. Again, in the Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says that Abraham, by faith, when called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Even though he didn't have a clue where he was going, he took a step because God told him to. And when you take that step and when you keep your eyes focused on the author and perfecter of our faith, suddenly, when you're moving by his power, you're not walking by sight anymore, but walking by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But great faith pleases God. He's amazed in a great way. Would our God be amazed at your faith today? Or would he be amazed that you have all the access to his power, to his throne room, to his grace? If you're a follower of Jesus, don't you know the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you? The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Would he be amazed that you call yourself a follower of Christ and have access to all of that power, and yet there's a lack of faith in your life? Where are you at today? For you as a follower of Jesus, you may take a faith step this year, a faith step to share your faith with someone who doesn't know Christ, maybe a family member, maybe a boss, maybe it's somebody that you work out with, and you know they really need the truth that you know, but you're not sure what's going to happen. You're going to have to take that step of faith, and that box is checked, maybe. Are they going to respond positively? You don't know. But let me tell you this, your faith will be built when you obey what God puts on your heart. Some of you this year are going to take a faith step that you're going to give generously for the first time in your life. You've heard about it. You've thought about it. You've made some excuses. And suddenly you're going to do something that makes no rational sense to those in the outside world. But you're going to return 10% or whatever percent you deem to be generous of your income back to God that he's blessed you with. You're going to give it back to God to bless the church. So suddenly you're going to see God provide and you're going to recognize this year that 90% with God's blessing is actually a lot more than 100% without his blessing. Some of you are going to start this year and you're going to take your faith step and you're going to find out what that discovery track is all about. You've been coming for a little while and you've been hearing about God, but you're still new to the faith. And so it's still an infantile faith. And so you need to come and you need to learn a little bit more about God and grow in his grace and understand the gospel and who you are in that. And so you're going to take that step and you're going to be a part of that discovery track. And you're going to find out 6 months later that your relationship with God is far more rich and far greater when you actually know things about him than when you didn't know things about him. Some of you are going to take a faith step this year and you're going to join an L team or maybe even start an L team. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? Do I know enough? What's going to happen? Is anybody going to show up? And you don't know. And several months later, you're going to sit back and say, man, this is one of my favorite things in this life, that I get to pour my life into others, that we're sharing life together in community around God's word, and that we're growing spiritually together. I'm so glad I took that step of faith. Some of you, you're going to serve in student ministries this year, like Mark has been asking. We need more help. You're going to serve in youth ministry. You're going to think, well, I don't know if I'm cool enough. Can I connect with them at all? And suddenly you're going to get in there and you're going to realize, oh my goodness, these kids have so much potential. And some of them have so much passion for Christ, but some of them are so messed up. They're cutting themselves. They're sexually confused and depressed and coming from broken homes. And you're going to wake up 6 months from now and say, man, this is the best part of my life that I get to impact the next generation for Jesus Christ. Some of you, God's going to call to serve in our kids' ministry, nursery up to fifth grade. There's going to be a few of you this year that are going to serve in the two-year-old room, and you're going to be with these tiny, crazy little crackheads. And it's going to take great faith because they're in there and they're everywhere, and there's far more of them than there are of you, and you're going to find God's help in a brand new way. Some of you are going to start a business and you don't know what's going to happen. You're going to take that step of faith this year. And some of you, and let me say this, this would be the most important step that you could ever take. Some of you have been, even in 2015, man, that was the year you tried to do it on your own. And you realized, I miserably failed this year. And some of you are going to finally take that step where you're taking that step and you don't know everything that's going to happen. It's a maybe. You're not sure about it, but you're going to take that step in faith and say, God, I've tried it on my own, but I'm going to surrender that because I know I can't do it on my own. I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior, and I want to follow faithfully after you. And man, if you're taking that step today or at any point this year, let me tell you that I and this church, we are so proud of you. That's the greatest step of faith that you could ever take. Church, we're not going to sit back this year. Listen to me. We are thinking big. Did you hear that? We're thinking big. Our God did not give us a small commission, but a great commission. That everyone would come to know him and that the gospel would be preached around the world. And so don't you ever let me hear you as we're growing and as God is doing things, is this church is getting too big. Listen, if you think the church is getting too big, your love for people is too small. As long as there's one person who does not know Jesus Christ, then the church is not big enough. I see us still as a startup church. We're just getting started. We're a micro church with a mega vision. And I believe that God wants us individually and corporately to think big because faith, great faith, pleases and even amazes God. And when God looks at you this year in 2016, I want him to look down and I want him to be amazed at his son, amazed at his daughter, at some of the bold, audacious, daring, risky things that you're doing. And when God looks collectively at our church, we are. When he looks collectively at us, I want him to look down and be amazed and especially look at this church and say, are you kidding me? Hey, God the Father, take a look at these people, right? Holy Spirit, come on in here. Let's huddle up. Let's look down on the cross, Mount Dora, like some of these people are crazy messed up people before they came here. Like we got some weirdos in this place. Yes. We got some people that just don't do life right. And they're looking down and they're thinking, what happened? I want God to be amazed at what happens at the cross through each and every one of us. And it only happens through his Holy Spirit working inside of us. Because as much as I want God to be amazed at us, I want to tell you this morning, when I look at God, I'm absolutely amazed. How can you not be amazed at the God of the universe? I'm amazed that God would come into this world to take that step of faith and to become one of us. I'm amazed that he would do that with the evidence that was all around that nobody wanted him and nobody certainly was going to follow after him. He took a big risk with no guarantees, but he took that step of faith because he believes in you as his son and daughter, and he thinks you're a pretty awesome person and he wants great things for you. God stepped into mankind to become one of us, and that step would later lead him to the cross where he would die on the cross for your sins. He would rise from the dead, defeat the sin that we've confessed in this place already. And not only would he do that, but I'm even more amazed that after he does all of that, he says, I want to work with you, right? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and together, actively, we're going to take steps of faith. We're going to have great faith, and we're going to change this city and advance God's kingdom. We are faith-filled big thinking, bet the farm risk takers. We will not insult God with safe living. Or no, smart living. No, what is it? Safe living and smart something. Thinking, something like that. Talk about ruining the punchline at the very end. Let me see that line again. We got to do that once more, right? There we go. Small, that's what it was. Safe thinking is good, right? Okay, we are faith-filled, big thinking, bet the farm risk takers. We will never insult God with small thinking or safe living. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your grace. Jesus, thank you for your grace. I'm amazed at you, Lord, that you would come down into this world to be one of us, to give everything that you had with no guarantees that any of us would ever follow you. But Lord, you love us and you believe in us. And we believe in you, Lord, and we want to have great faith this year. We want to declare 2016 as the year where we are big thinking and faith-filled, Lord Jesus. And as we set goals and as we talk about things that we want to do, Lord, that's only what I believe, what you want for our church. But God, we want what you want. And so if any of that's out of step with what you want, Lord, I pray that you would come in and show us and you would give us the direction and the path that we ought to take as a church and as a congregation, because we ultimately desire to follow after you first and foremost. Lord, I want to pray for all those that are here today. And I know there are many that are ready to take a faith step. Lord, I want to pray especially for those that it might be their first time taking a step of faith to follow after you, Lord Jesus. I want to pray for them, Lord, and I just want to pray for boldness and courage that as they start following after you, they wouldn't get distracted by other people in this world and by other things, but they'd keep their eyes focused on you, Jesus. We're so excited to see the kingdom of God grow in this place. Lord, I want to pray for all those who are taking another step of faith. Maybe this year, Lord, they're taking a step of faith to be courageous and bold about inviting other people to come to church. God, give them the courage to do that. Give them the power to do that, Lord. I want to pray for those who are taking a step of faith to go through the discovery track and to learn more about you, God, that you would just show them who you are in a brand new way, in a deeper, richer way than they've ever known before. God, I want to pray for those who are going to help out with ministries at this church, whether it's L teams or students or kids, God. I just pray that they would take that step of faith today, Lord Jesus. And they would follow after you, and that through them, Lord, you're going to do great and powerful things. God, they're going to impact others, but I pray that they too would be impacted greatly by the people that they're serving. Lord Jesus, we want to take a step of faith as a church and say we're not going to settle for anything less than what you want this year, Lord Jesus. We want to follow after you. We want to do whatever it takes. We want to be big thinking, faith-filled people because, Lord, we want to amaze you because you amaze us. You amaze us. And Lord, I want to continue our prayers today and pray for all those who are hurting, all those who are sick, all those who are fighting disease or struggling with cancer. God, I want to pray boldly that you would heal them, that you would give them encouragement, that you would lift them up, and that you would use these times for your glory, Lord Jesus. God, I want to pray for all those who are fighting to bring freedom and peace into this world, Lord, that you would protect them and keep them safe and give them opportunities to connect with you, Lord, with whatever they're doing, Lord Jesus. And I want to pray as well that as we launch into 2016 with a big vision, that we don't do it alone, that we are faith-filled, big-thinking people, Lord, but we want to also join with other like-minded churches. God, I don't want to do this alone. I don't want to be one in many, Lord. I want us to be together. And so, Lord, will you join the churches together this year in a way that you've never done before? And every church that lifts high the name of Jesus and glorifies you as their Lord and Savior, I just pray that you would abundantly pour out your blessings exceedingly greater than they'd ever thought or imagined as well in their midst. That you'd bring leaders and givers and just people that contribute in so many ways to their churches, Lord. For we do want to see something powerful happen in this city and beyond. And we believe it, Jesus. We're taking steps of faith. We believe it, and we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.